blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 536. It is August the 2nd, 2016. Well, today, Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby. Who doesn't know that name, I wonder, in the church today? Nevertheless, I imagine there are a lot of things about her that you don't know. Today we begin her fascinating story. The year is 1910, and the place is Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Perth Amboy, New Jersey. A hackman stops to pick up two passengers. One's a middle-aged clergyman. The other's a withered old lady, apparently blind, ravaged and wasted almost beyond belief, bent nearly double with age. But as the coach jolts along en route to the railroad depot, the hackman becomes aware that there's something unusual about this ancient woman, seemingly straight out of one of Grimm's fairy tales. She's speaking to the clergyman. Her voice is not dry and quavering, as one might be led from her appearance to expect, but it's clear and high and mellow and young. Far from the senility that one might expect in one so venerable, why, you would think she was more than 100, the lady's mind is as fresh and young as her voice. She evidently is a woman of great intellect and refinement. She and the clergyman are discussing some point of theology. The coachman listens intently to the wit and wisdom that the old lady displays. When it becomes obvious that the driver is paying more attention to what she is saying than to the road, the minister speaks up. "This is Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer," he says. The hackman is stunned. He stops his horse, takes off his hat, and weeps openly. Getting himself together, he proceeds to the depot, where he searches for a policeman and finds one. He introduces the old woman to him. "This is Fanny Crosby that wrote Safe in the Arms of Jesus. I want you to help this young man to get her safely to the train." The cop is stunned. "I sure will," he says, and then he says falteringly to the little old lady, We sang your hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, just last week at my little girl's funeral." As he looks at the ground with reddened and shining eyes, Aunt Fanny takes his enormous arm in her skinny hands and says with great feeling and tenderness, "My boy, I call all policemen and railroad men my boys. They take such good care of me wherever I go. Well, but God bless your dear heart. You shall have my prayers. And tell your dear wife that your dear little girl is safe in the arms of Jesus." With these words, the constable broke down and wept openly. So who was this ancient lady, Fanny Crosby, this strange little woman dressed in the style of 70 years previous, with her green glasses and a crucifix on her breast? Who was this blind woman whose name was so revered by a man on the street? Well, it's just as well that this strange, dwarfish little woman is not forgotten, don't you agree? Was she indeed simply a third-rate hack poet whose fame ought justly to be confined to the pages of the Sunday school hymnals of several generations ago? Or was she more than most people today realize? A person whose life story is worth retelling. Is it best that she remain forgotten? Did she make any significant contribution, even to American civilization? Or is she simply a person who was tremendously overrated in her own day and is now rightly neglected? How different was the place of Fanny Crosby in the estimation of our forefathers? Ann Cobham, a noted social worker at the turn of the century, that's the 20th century, wrote of her, "She's the most wonderful person living, and in my mind, the most wonderful person that's ever lived." on the flyleaf of a collection of her reminiscences, which was published shortly after her death in 1915. It's written, "Everybody knows the name of Fanny Crosby. It's a question whether any name in the religious annals of America is better known. Who is there that has not heard and sung, 'Rescue the perishing,' 'Draw me nearer,' 'Safe in the arms of Jesus,' and 'Saved by grace'? In far-off mission stations, down in the dark, unlovely underworld of cities, out on the trackless deep, in home and hall and church and camp, these hymns have brought solace and enheartenment to millions. They're songs that will never die." So far from being the epitome of the bad hymn writer, Fanny Crosby in her day was considered by most people to be the greatest in America. As Johann Strauss reigned in Vienna as the Waltz King and John Philip Sousa in Washington as the March King, so Fanny Crosby reigned in New York in the later 19th and early 20th century as the Hymn Queen, H-Y-M-N. Charles H. Gabriel, himself a noted hymn writer and the author of several immensely popular songs, shortly after her death, lamented the loss of the Queen of American Hymn Writers, whose name, suspended as a halo above modern hymnology, will live on as long as people sing the gospel. William Alfred Quayle, a noted Methodist bishop, as well as a poet and theologian, called Fanny Crosby the modern Saint Cecilia. George Cole Stebbins, a famous hymn writer and evangelical singer, attributed all his success as a hymn tune composer to the poetry of the men and women who supplied him with verse, especially to his beloved Aunt Fanny. "The most distinguishing thing about my life," he wrote in 1905, "has been my friends, Fanny Crosby and Moody and Sankey. All but for them, nobody would have ever heard tell of me, but they have made me what I am." In his autobiography of 1924, Stebbins wrote, "There was probably no writer in her day who appealed more to the valid experience of the Christian life, or who expressed more sympathetically the deep longings of the human heart than Fanny Crosby." In 1904, the famous singing evangelist Ira D. Sankey, partner and colleague of the renowned D.L. Moody, said that the success of their evangelical campaigns was due more than any other human factor to Fanny Crosby's hymns. And a modern Baptist hymnologist, William Jensen Reynolds, writing in 1963, commented that Fanny Crosby, to a greater extent than any other person, captured the spirit of literary expression of the gospel song era. During the era of the gospel song, a light, informal hymn written in the style of the popular ballad, Fanny Crosby reigned supreme. This would have encompassed approximately the years 1870 to 1920. Her hymns were sung all over the world. During an evangelical campaign in the British Isles, Ira Sankey took a short vacation in the Swiss Alps. There he was astounded to hear peasants singing beneath the window of his inn Fanny Crosby's "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," in German. And that same hymn was said to have been a favorite of Queen Victoria and of the Prince and Princess of Wales. "Safe in the Arms of Jesus" was played by a brass band at the funeral of President Grant in 1885, and the same year was sung at the funeral of Lord Shaftesbury, a founder of the YMCA. During the early 1900s, an American clergyman traveling through the Arabian desert was astonished to hear Bedouins in their tents singing Fanny Crosby's "Saved by Grace," presumably in Arabic. And I've got to add here, that was before Facebook, before email, before any of the modern communication devices that we have today. Incredible. Any female hymn writer of any importance was termed another Fanny Crosby. K. Carolyn Sindelberg, a Swede who wrote many excellent hymns, including Children of the Heavenly Father, was known as the Swedish Fanny Crosby. A little blind Korean girl, famous around the turn of the century for her singing of Christian hymns, inevitably became known as the little blind Fanny Crosby. But Fanny Crosby was known for more than her hymns. And she was one of the three most prominent figures, and that would include D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, in American evangelical religious life in the last quarter of the 19th century. She did more than write hymns. She was a famous preacher and lecturer and was a devoted home mission worker. In many instances, when she spoke at a church, people would be lined up for at least a block before her service began. She was venerated as practically a living saint in her later years. In fact, she was often called the Protestant saint or the Methodist saint. When she was at home, she was a virtual prisoner of the confessional for the scores of people who came on pilgrimage from all over the world to see her and ask for her advice and prayers. Fanny Crosby, in her 95 years, not only wrote around 9,000 hymns, more than anybody else in recorded Christian history, but also more than 1,000 secular poems. In addition, she was an eminent lecturer and a well-known musician, noted for her concerts on the harp and organ. And so she deserves some attention from her readers. By the way, I didn't tell you, before I go on to chapter 1, that was the introduction. This was written by Bernard Ruffin about 40 years ago, I do believe, as I look back here. Yeah, 1976 is when it was copyrighted, 40 years ago this year. But Southeast New York in Putnam County was more of a geographical district than a town in 1820. So I was saying Southeast New York very quickly, but I meant to say Southeast, comma, New York. It's kind of a town, but kind of a district. Anyway, it was a rural area composed largely of forest and farmland with a few tiny hamlets here and there, the largest being Duanesburg, then a thriving center with a Presbyterian church, a parsonage, a post office, a school, even a library. The countryside roundabout was dotted with trees and demarcated with those stone walls that are so typical of New England. The soil was not good, producing more rocks than crops, and it was virtually impossible for a small farmer to survive. And with that, with your permission, I'm going to pass over all the details about Southeast New York. But we'll go on to the father, John Crosby. Not much is known of him. And since he died when Fanny was a baby, she had no personal recollections of him. She had always been told that he was an extremely ambitious, hard-working man who seems to have been a veteran of the War of 1812. He'd been married before, had a daughter, Laura, who was about the same age as Mercy's sister, Mercy being his wife. John Crosby hoped to acquire a farm of his own someday, to provide a better existence for his young wife and the child they were expecting. But on March 24, 1820, 2 months before her 21st birthday, Mercy gave birth to her firstborn, a daughter. They christened her Frances Jane Crosby at the Duanesburg Church after one of her mother's numerous aunts, Fanny Paddock Curtis. By late April, the Crosbys were alarmed. There's something wrong with the baby's eyes. In later years, Fanny spoke of a sickness which made her eyes very weak. But more disconcerting, the family was unable to obtain competent medical assistance. There was a doctor in the community, but he was away at the time. Finally, however, they found a man who claimed to be a physician. Just who this man was, no one knows. Fanny, 86 years later, wrote about a stranger. She often spoke of him as a doctor, but insisted that he was totally untrained in medicine. Whoever he was, the Crosbys were horrified when he put a hot poultice on the baby's red and inflamed eyes. They were concerned about the extreme heat of the compress, but the doctor insisted that it would not hurt the child's eyes and would draw out the infection. When he had finished his treatments, it was apparent that the Crosbys knew more about medicine than the quack that they had consulted. For although the infection gradually cleared up, the ugly white scars began to form on the eyes, and as the months went by, little Fanny Jane showed no response when objects were held before her face. The doctor did not remain in Southeast very long after that. The Crosbys accused the man outright of blinding the baby and stirred up such indignation in the towns around there, Duanesburg and neighboring hamlets, that the unfortunate man, no doubt fearing lynching, fled the vicinity and was never heard from again. There's more disaster that comes. We will talk about that next time around. Studying about Fanny Crosby today and thanking you for being here. Hoping that you'll check back in tomorrow. I want you to subscribe to this podcast. You just go to that orange button there at the top of the page of Sermon Audio that you should be on about right now, and click on iTunes. If you're not there, go to www.sermonaudio.com/aservant70. Well, we started with the scripture, John 9:39. The blind will see, and by the way, Fanny Crosby sees perfectly right now. But the blind will see, and those who see will become blind, said Jesus. God bless you today. Bye-bye.